is the Sports Den with Denny Thompson and James Coleman on 1010XL.
I want to start the show by being completely and utterly honest with all you Jag fans. I know that there's a great deal of you, possibly me included, that are pulling for losses week to week for draft position. But what y'all do have to understand is it stinks coming in here after a loss every freaking week. I don't even really know what we're supposed to talk about tonight. Like, how bad they suck, that's like an every night thing that we talk about.
True.
I don't know. I guess there's a segment of you that had bought into, like, Luton was the best thing ever. I that's y'all's fault.
Yeah, man.
I mean, to their
defense, though, like, they were told that Luton was, like, all that in a bag of chips. We didn't say that, but a lot of people were reporting that. Somebody actually, like, added me on Twitter. And, like, as other people, they were like, who do we blame? And they're like, do we blame our guy at @E_Dilla? And Dilla was like, nah, it wasn't me. He's like, well, it's got to be Big Game. I said, no, the hell it wasn't. I mean, no hell it was. Shoot, I said, I told y'all he stunk at the and I was very vocal about it amongst other press members. At the scrimmage.
The best quarterback at the scrimmage was at Pittsburgh.
Was the astronaut.
Yeah.
I mean, would you want to name?
Already with the questions, RJ.
But would you listen?
We're
I know
a minute
that,
and a half in.
So I'm trying to give you guys an idea, Denny.
Anyways, all right, what's the question?
Well, that's the question, RJ.
I'm just saying, like, can we name five players on this team that you could say will be on this team in the future?
Oh, easy. CJ, the sorry guy from LSU.
Josh Allen.
Josh is IR, so he has no choice. He'll be on it.
Miles Jack.
James Robinson.
Laviska Shenault.
Keelan now.
I don't know. He may be making himself too expensive.
That's true.
DJ Chark.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go about probably 10 or 11 deep.
You know who's going
to
be here
because
he's a good—
But you know what you're not supposed to do, to be fair to RJ? What you're not supposed to do is turn over 70% of your roster.
Right.
Well, I guess I'm just asking from a standpoint of who's your core on this football team.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as long as the same leadership's in place. It doesn't matter if—
Taven's going to make the team.
Taven's gone, bro.
You don't think Taven's going to— Like, Taven's one of those good leadership guys.
They're not even playing him anymore. Like that. Like, I mean,
Taven made a good hustle play today.
Right. Yeah, that's what you draft a defense tackle to make a tackle 22 yards down the field. That's what you do. The whole thing's a sham, bro. It's just, that's all it is. It is a, it's a, like the Jets. Can we get a year by year of the Jets? Like, I need to know this. New York Jets record year by year. Because I want to make sure the point I'm going to make is valid with this.
I'm trying to figure out if they stink just as bad.
No. Like, the Jets, there's no doubt they're tanking. But they, golly. They were 7-9 last year.
That's respectable.
4-12, 5-11, 5-11, 10-6, 4-12, 8-8, 6-10, 8-8, 11-5. They had a little run there in the mid-2000s, kind of. Like, there's no doubt they're tanking. The Jags, man, like, we were onside kick today. Like, we're not tanking.
So, come on, man. They're not.
We ain't tanking on purpose, bro.
They're that bad?
We are that bad.
They're trying to be
y'all
bad?
Y'all can text in and y'all can tell me that who's tanking exactly? Like, somebody's got to explain to me. If you say the Jags are tanking, then tell me who. Because
David.
That's impossible because he's not any good anyway. In order to purposefully be bad, you have to purposefully be good at some point.
Well, he's good at bringing people in. He's done a good, decent job of that. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Fame guy, but he has done a decent job of that.
Bro, he's...
Like, there are pieces that go other places and flourish.
Other places.
We know that. So that's sometimes indicative of the chef. But this time, he took away all the good ingredients.
That's my point. Like, that's not... But he was doing that before the tanking. Like, I mean...
No, I'm saying they knew they wanted Trevor.
Exactly, is tanking because it's not Doug Marrone because he's going to be fired. We're assuming Dave Caldwell's going to be fired, but I don't know. So he wouldn't be the one that's doing the tanking. Shad Khan don't pay enough attention. He's just a terrible owner. I mean, We all assumed that when they sent Leonard Fournette packing, that was the sign. But, damn, James Robinson's the bright spot.
I mean,
if you got to actually give him credit for that one.
They can't make it too blatant. They wanted to trade him, but they could.
It's exhausting. It's exhausting. For the longest time here in Jacksonville, we had this complex where it was like
– the media.
Everybody. It was just be thankful that we have this team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying – I didn't mean that. I'm saying, like, I remember not getting into it, but, like, chatting with Hacker once, like, through Twitter, and he was just like – actually, I got to go find it because I feel like being petty, especially if we start on Fridays. Huh?
It was probably your old account.
No, it wasn't last year. This year. And he was like, we have to stop this the national media has to stop saying we're tanking. He's like, we're out here trying. I was like, the national media doesn't have to put any narrative out. You can look at the team and just kind of put that together. They stink. Mm. And he was going strong for the first couple weeks. And then he just like.
Where I was going to go with it, though, James, is like we had this for the longest time. And you kind of moved here in the middle of this. So it was.
It's only been good once since
I've been here. So surprised that we got the team when we originally got it back in, what was that,
95 the first season?
That everybody was just kind of like, okay, just be thankful you have the team.
Right.
The ownership changed, and it was like, okay, we got a progressive owner in here, and he's going to do all this stuff. And now you fast forward, and the dude's the fastest non-expansion owner to lose 100 games.
When I first moved here, it was the year that Tony was coming on the radio yelling at all of us.
Right, to
about
buy tickets.
How he had to buy tickets.
Or we lose the team.
They were like doing like 4-packs
right.
of stuff. Like, and they were like, you know, either you're going to support the team or
they're going to move.
Or they're going to move. And
so then the owner says, I'm keeping it in Jacksonville and really revisit what's happened since he's bought this team. Like, fastest non-expansion owner to lose 100 games. If I see one more mock-up of a development, I'm going to lose my freaking mind because that has literally been the excitement generator for the last 6 freaking years.
Lot J changes all of this, man. You got to admit that.
Lot J don't change a damn thing.
You know,
they're going to put all their money into the little wrestling venture they have. It's just the whole thing is just an absolute disaster. And again, in order to convince me that as an organization they were tanking, you would first have to show me where they were ever any good. Like, what was there to tank from? I mean, would it surprise anybody? Would it surprise anybody at all if they did something stupid this year, like traded out of the number 2 pick?
Because Gluten just needs the support. I was listening.
See, why are you
No, RJ, is that not a stance that was said on this station today?
I told y'all that a couple weeks ago, and y'all was bashing on me. I told you that was like, those were the lines that were being said. People were trying to talk themselves into Jake Luton.
I was trying to remember what happened after waking up from my nap that I got beat to sleep.
That's just silly.
Think about it. Like, what if we gave 75 another year to get better?
Well, that's going to happen.
No, I'm saying, like, just develop him.
Yeah.
Or bump him inside. I think if you bump him inside, that'll help
him. Tell me a reason to keep Luton? Don't do this. Like, this isn't the time nor the place. Nobody wants to hear this.
What about, you know, if the left tackle, you know, we get him some new knees and get him in the weight room, get a little stronger.
You're addressing all the least of the problems.
Oh, they're awful.
James, I'm gonna say this. I don't blame the players.
You don't?
No.
Okay. Who you blame?
I blame coaches, GM, owner. It is such a cesspool of just just suck down there that I don't care if you would have drafted Pat Mahomes. He'd have come here and gotten benched. Like, that's how bad it is over there. Everybody wants to talk about culture, and they got rid of these guys to get a better culture. Their culture is they suck. The culture is Dave Caldwell, Shad Khan, Tony Khan, all of them know nothing about football, and they just freaking suck. So until you get rid of whoever you can out of that group, the culture's not going to change. It doesn't matter if Taven whistles around skipping. He sucks. It's not changing the culture. It's just so old and played out, and we all know what they're going to do. They're going to go pull another excuse out the freaking hat that they have and try to sell us on some major development of, oh, aren't we lucky that Shad Khan is investing downtown? No, we're not. Because me, James, RJ, and four drunks could go on this team and do a better job than what they've freaking done since he bought the team. It's embarrassing. We're not the Cleveland Browns. We hope, we aspire to be the freaking Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
It's ridiculous.
Cleveland Browns 7-3.
I'm talking Cleveland historically. Oh. Even the fire on the river. I want a damn fire on the river. At least it gives us something exciting downtown. The whole thing's embarrassing. Blow the freaking thing up. Players, if you're listening, I don't blame you. You were sucked into this. CJ, I'm sorry you got drafted into this.
Caleb
Chaisson, I'm sorry. Every one of you that's been drafted.
We were the only ones drafting you.
Every single one of you that's been drafted, I'm sorry you got put into a crappy foster home. Because that's all that happened. Is it is a place that if you're any good, they're going to send your butt somewhere else. It's old, dude. I'm over it. We got to come in here and we got to talk about this. And it's like, what the hell do y'all want us to talk about? Sorry.
Nah, man. I was there a few weeks ago. It's worse when you got to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have to watch it, it's okay. Like, even if you don't have expectations, like, you just want to see a good game where they
competitive.
Like, competitive. Like, that's why I've been okay. Like, this one, again, wasn't. You got. And what's worse is how disrespectful it is. Like, and I like Coach Tomlin, but I knew an ass whooping was coming. Similar to, and we'll talk about this more on Monday, similar to the ass whooping that I knew was coming on Saturday before, you know, the dude got the sniffles.
Right.
When people know when you stink. They know when you're not any good. You're just not a good ball club. It happens. Like, times happen when you're not good, and they don't disrespect you by – they don't try to give you, like, bulletin board material because they know it doesn't matter anyway. But they're also not going to gas you up. But then there's times when teams come in and they have a vision or a destiny that's way bigger than you in your situation right now, and they've got to steamroll you to prove a point.
Yep.
And when I heard Tomlin say, this ain't the Big Ten versus the MAC, this is the NFL and everybody's equal, and they're a good team, they got good players, this is the Big Ten versus the MAC. I know he's watched film or had somebody watch it for him at that level and tell him what's going on.
He took the week off, dog. You know he did.
They came in.
Like, I ain't going to watch film. I'm gonna watch
at first, so I saw Jag's Twitter, and I chuckled on the inside. They went straight base, very vanilla at first. And you know, what did we do? We go down and drive down, and they stop. They hold us to a field goal. Offensively, they go pretty vanilla. Mm-hmm. They miss a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, okay, so y'all want to play for real, huh? Them cats, they didn't bring a soul, I believe, on the first drive on the blitz. They brought the house, and they just said, "We're gonna dare Gluten to throw it."
Yep.
My man was straight got CTE, PTSD, bro. All of that stuff. They took him back to Ace Ventura College or whatever he said.
Beating.
He's like, I haven't thrown four interceptions.
Did you
since.
Say Ace Ventura?
Whatever. I didn't know. Like, this is the problem. Like, I heard somebody say, like, how do the Steelers find these guys? Like, they, you know, this guy was the D2 player of the year, Claypool. Right. And the other guy, they're good. Like, when I did an interview.
Claypool's Notre Dame.
not Claypool. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe it was just Johnson. Okay. One of them was the D2 player of the year. Claypool might have been. Don't get me. I just was listening to what the announcer was saying. I'm like, that's not a duck. Like, everybody should have known he was good. You get the Heisman in D2. Hell, you get the Heisman in NAIA. You should at least get a sniff. But I talked to Vince Williams, former Seminole player, linebacker for the Steelers. And I was like, hey, what is it like? They pick winners. Mm-hmm. They pick a specific type of player. They don't bring bad people into their culture. You come in and you adapt to what they do or they run you out. And good players. But you just won't make it
like
with them.
All pro players.
Like, you're just not going to make it with them. And they'll wish you the best. But it's like I saw them say, see, now we got to really whip you. We was just going to play. It reminded me, I'm not going to go too graphic into it, but if you've ever seen the movie Training Day, mm-hmm. at the end of it, when Hoyt was about to, like, the guy with the Mexican gangbangers, and he tried to fight and he punched the guy. And he said, oh, we was just going to have a little fun with you. Now we got to really mess you up. That's basically what you saw on there. The difference is we didn't have an out in our pocket. We didn't save Mike Tomlin's little niece. Mm. They came in and just commits. So much so, going into the half, they could have kicked the field goal. They said, nah, man. You food. Y'all pie. We're going to test these sorry-ass corners as everybody's getting hurt. Got an interception, and that was great. You felt good, but you should have been you should have been like, wait a minute. These guys didn't just go for the points. They just really knew that they could just go up and down the field and just keep pressing us the entire time.
I think this is important while it's fresh with everybody. 9 losses in a row. My bad. 100 losses as an owner. 27-3, not even that competitive today. I think it's important for everybody driving around or listening on your app or however it is you're listening to realize this. And like, I'm being serious about this, James. Mm-hmm. The next time that a really good player says, I want out of Jacksonville, I want you to come back to this day and the way you feel right now. And don't be surprised. They are involved in it every single day. They know what it's doing to their career. We get on here and talk about the radio. You guys go to work tomorrow. This does not affect y'all's career. It affects ours a little bit, but it doesn't affect y'all's career. These people are in it. They know what it's doing to their career. Hell yes, they want out. What if you were an all-star salesperson at a team that had crap to sell and your managers were terrible? You'd be looking for a job too.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember this day when we don't even have that. Josh Allen.
I mean, you should remember this day if you're a real Jaguars fan, because this is historical. This is 100.
We're going to celebrate that. We're gonna choose to celebrate.
If Shaw was a real one, he'd do it. We'd have something at Lot J. Like, socially distanced. but do something. Like, you know, give us some, like, I don't know, man. Hand out turkey. Like, grill something.
I just.
Grill Jaguar or something. Like, I don't know. Like, if
wow,
we could do
that's
that.
No, you can't do that.
We'll just make it chicken. Everything tastes like chicken or beef, so just make it one of those chicken. And just say it. Just say it's that.
I mean, the Steeler fans are here. It'd be dope. Like, they took over the stadium anyway. We'd have a lot of people there.
Most of these people probably sold their tickets anyway.
All right, we got to take a break. By the way, it's a Sports Den.
Oh, yeah.
Brought to you by ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. It's Thanksgiving week, so there is a reason to be happy. Best week of the year. Make sure you get to ABC Fine Wine and Spirits.
You ain't even got to leave.
That's right. You don't.
Get you some eggnog delivered.
How you do that?
You got to go to abcfws.com.
Mm-hmm.
Buy at least $200 worth of stuff, but
really,
minimum 200? 50. Minimum 50. And then what you do is when you check out, they have a delivery option. And if you type in Sports Den 2020, they're going to give you, it's going to be about $5.99.
you can't beat that.
It's supposed if you don't type that in, it's going to be like $10-$15. Mm. So we're hooking you up.
We're helping you. None of that money goes to Shot Con either. So
not at all.
It's good for you. All right, quarterback situation. Yes, we'll get to that coming up next.
XL. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
You know, it's his defense. He normally doesn't play, so he got that part. He did get that part. So good for him. RJ, just write this down because you forget. You tend to forget. We need this to be played at the end. That's how we leave. It's how we want to leave. It's the last minute. We want to leave the show.
So this is now the outro music.
Right? Yes. Not coming into the last break.
No. Right. I'm saying the outro, yes. Like to play you guys out.
Yes. Right. Yes. We don't. No more freestyling with that. It's one song.
But RJ, you're doing a fantastic job.
Yes. At least you remember. You know what? I feel you. You get it in early. Try to score your points early, just in case you can't score points late. It makes sense. I got you.
RJ, I believe in you.
Thank you, Denny. Thank you.
Final score 27-3, Steelers over your hometown Jacksonville Jaguars. Do you want to bet that Gardner's all of a sudden healthy come tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Jake Luton finishes game 16 of 37 for 151 yards, 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He only had 2 sacks? He only got sacked twice?
Yeah, they were just getting to. They were hitting him.
He got the crap kicked out of him all day.
Yes.
James Robinson, 17 carries, 73 yards. Another good day for James Robinson. Here's the thing about Luton. The dude has really good instincts. Like, really good instincts for a guy who hadn't played. The issue with Jake Luton is going from one read to the other. Like, I mean, we talked about this weeks ago when he first started, and I've talked about it on the Frangie Show on Thursdays, is he's got this amazing arm and probably, like, one of the best arms in the league. But once he has to get off that first read, he has no control. And we saw that today. And that was his issue. That's the reason. There's always a reason why a guy's a sixth rounder. Usually it's something like what Gardner dealt with. We talked about this, I think. He's short, not the biggest arm, right? And I like Jake. Jake's a good guy. He's a cool guy. Like, I really like Jake. I think he'll play in this league for a while. But I'm going to be objective here, James. If you're 6'6". And you have a rifle for an arm, and you still go in the sixth round, that there's a reason. If you're 6'6", and you've got a top half of the NFL arm, I just described Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Like, you're supposed to go, if not the first 10 picks, somewhere in the first round. If you're 6'6", have that arm, and you go in the sixth round, I'm not getting on to Jake. I'm more telling the fans, like, it's an unrealistic expectation to believe that a sixth rounder happened to just fall to you. Like, everybody uses the Tom Brady thing. Give me another one. Like, it just doesn't – a 6'6", rifle arm guy who can move a little bit doesn't just fall to you in the sixth round.
Right.
Right, what you're seeing is a sixth round pick on a bad team. So, you know, the 4 picks doesn't surprise me. You have to figure out what you have in Gardner Minshew. He's got to play the rest of the year. Has to. Jake Luton's not going anywhere.
I mean, he might, but, like, it doesn't matter. Like, nobody, like, we might cut him. Like, nobody's banging down the door to get Jake Luton. We straight.
Right. Gardner, like, there's 2 things that could happen with Gardner Minshew. He could come in and you could find out, okay, those first two games were more indicative of what he is. He broke his hand, and that's where his play started to fall off. And so, you know what? We'd like to keep him here as a backup. If you got the first two, one of the first two picks, you're picking your future quarterback. Or you could find that out. He could ball out, semi-ball out, and maybe you get something for him. Maybe you get draft capital. You don't really need it in 21. Maybe you get 22 draft capital. I don't know, but you get something. Or he comes back in and he's the same way he was right when he got done, and you just know you got to move on. But yeah. At this point in the season, you got to know which one it is, don't you? This shouldn't even really be a decision. That's what I'm getting to.
I mean, I'm with you, kinda. But isn't this the same thing that they did last year with Nicholas? I guess technically you want to see if – I mean, we know what we got with Gluten. But, like, you can't just keep switching them back and forth, man. Like, dance with the lady you bring. Like, if Gardner come back and he all of a sudden just poof, healthy, I mean, dude, I'm going to judge you. But, I mean, because what are we aspiring for?
No, that's fair.
Because if the goal is to just, you know, play, look decent, then, you know, whatever.
Then which one do you play?
I think you keep Gluten out there.
Why? To what end?
Well, the other side of this is this, too. The offense stunk. Don't get me wrong. You got 100 yards rushing, if I remember correct, or at least 100 yards from scrimmage from James Robinson.
Yards from scrimmage. What is 76 yards rushing. 73 yards.
If your defense could stop anybody, it might have been a better game. I'm not blaming them. It was just really bad. Mm-hmm. It was just really bad all around. But I think especially against the Browns stink. So the Browns stink. Like, they're 7-3, but like, that's fool's gold, man. Mm. Like, dude, did you see that? Did you watch the game?
I understand.
Like,
but
the guy can't throw. They got Gardner out there, just with some better pieces around him.
I'm not disagreeing there. But I don't think they stink.
I'm saying they're a quarterback away from being good. We're a lot of pieces away, but our quarterback's not the only problem. I think if Gluten is back there, he gives you a different offense to run. The last thing you need is your guys going from a traditional drop back guy who actually runs an offense in a competent manner, even though not good, but it looks like it's supposed to look. To a guy that's running around in circles and chucks the ball
so
up.
What do you
and
do?
Prays
so what do you do with Gardner?
Gardner, you do what's right by Gardner. I personally think if Gluten is the guy that you probably do want to develop if you don't bring in another veteran. Because like, I'm sure the rosters aren't going to change much next year. Like, and what I mean, like the depth and how many people you get on there. You can put him on the practice squad. I promise you ain't nobody getting him.
Luton, you're talking about.
Yeah, Luton. And if you're going to draft a guy for the future, that's fine. You bring in a veteran to help develop both of them. Like, it's something that and Mike Glennon ain't the guy that you want doing that. Like, that was scary to hear them say, like, he doesn't remind us of any that. Like, they named three guys and they were all good. Like, he doesn't remind us of the three good guys. You know he reminds us of? Mike Glennon. It's like, would you not be offended? I mean, I get he's in the league. Good for him. Bravo. But, like, I want them to tell me something that's encouraging, that makes me feel like I could possibly be a starter. Don't tell me I remind you of Mike Glennon.
You think – I'm curious on this. You think Jake Luton has shown you enough that you would go the rest of the year with him with the intentions of keeping him around as a backup?
The only reason I say that is because Gardner is so much different from what you want. I'm not saying, to be honest with you, if you ask me, I already know Gardner can be a good backup. Mm-hmm. I actually think that Gardner in a different environment could be your Doug Flutie type guy down the road.
Yeah, I think worst case scenario, Gardner is Chase Daniel. Worst case scenario.
Worst case. I just don't see him fitting here because I will say the offense does look, it just looks different. It looks like an NFL offense. Like, maybe now if we had Pat Mahomes, and I'm not saying Gardner's Pat Mahomes by any stretch of the imagination, I'm just saying, like, that's a different kind of guy who I wouldn't mind Gardner being a backup to.
See, I think there's a couple things. One, Gardner has more to him right now as a pro quarterback than what Jake Luton does. Obviously, he's been in the league a lot longer. He's played a lot more football than Jake Luton. There were 10 throws today that Gardner hits. Now, there were some throws that Luton hit that Gardner doesn't. You know what it made me think of is you remember after the first couple weeks, all the Jag fans were like, throw the ball downfield, throw the ball downfield, throw the ball downfield. And we got on here and we explained coverage and said, when they're in this kind of coverage, you take what's given to you and you don't throw the ball down the field, right? Well, that what happens when you throw the ball downfield against a coverage that's not letting you have downfield throws is you throw 4 interceptions. That's what happens.
Okay.
So it's like you got to pick one. Do I want the guy that's going to take the nickel over and over and over again and he's going to go 18 for 24 for a buck 90? Or do I want to keep the big arm guy who may hit DJ Chark or Keelan Cole on a pass that he probably shouldn't have completed or even thrown, but he's got that much arm talent, and he's only going to complete 55% of his passes, but he may throw for 250.
That's the only thing I will say that I didn't need. I could have used today.
What's that?
The guy who was going to throw it to Conley at least 3 times for a big pass.
Well, I mean, Conley just, man, he's flat out dropping balls, though. Love Chris. Chris is one of the best dudes in the world, but gosh, man, he's had a case of the drops all year. He dropped one today that would have hit him in the dang neck if he didn't get a hand on it. And it was a big third down conversion.
Mm-hmm.
Look, at the end of the day, what we're talking about is dang near if the Jags are, and it looks like they're going to have their number 2 pick, because now with the way it all shook out today, the Jags would have to win 2, and there's other people that have to lose every game for them to lose a number 2 pick. Neither of those are happening. So it looks like the Jags are going to have the number 2 pick. So what we're talking about right now is dang near irrelevant, because you're drafting one of the quarterbacks number 2. By the way, the Jets aren't winning a game.
They're that bad?
I mean, they tried to come back today. But, no, I mean, we looked at their schedule.
Is Gase gone?
Is he in on the tank or no?
I don't know.
See, I think that's a tank.
But, I think he should have never been hired in the first place.
That's very true. Remember how we always talk about guys winning the press conference?
He didn't win the press conference. He came in coked out of his mind. Never seen that before. I was freaked out. He was like,
that was
what?
Unreal.
I got another job? All right. In New York? How much? And he just went on a 48-hour bender.
I remember I watched that 10 times. I couldn't get enough of that.
That eye roll, man, it was something.
It was scary. I thought he was going to die right there on stage.
I have a heart attack. That's how it was, man, it seems like forever ago. When I did the Frangie show a couple weeks ago, I wasn't coked out or in a bender. I just had so much coffee that I thought my heart was going to explode.
It'd be a much better story if you were coked out on a bender.
Yeah, but HR probably wouldn't appreciate that kind of honesty on the show.
Yeah, I'm at the end of the day, I don't really care. I'm going to respectfully disagree with James on this and think that Gardner takes this thing over, and you find out in these last 6 games exactly what Gardner is. I don't think the Minshew mania is going to take back over. I don't think anything like that's going to happen.
Oh, that's
Jag fans are, yeah, they're. But I think you got to find out, because absolute worst case scenario, then you just know he ain't it. But best case scenario is either trade bait or you have your, 7 to 10 year backup here. I don't even know where I stand, by the way, with Gruden anymore. As a play caller.
With Jay?
Yeah. Yeah, because what made me sad is I was about to say you have a backup that knows the system, but I mean, if they're gonna clean house, you gotta let them bring their own guy in anyway, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say, this is the guy we want you to have.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to – any respectable coach isn't going to go for that. That's not going to work. So, I don't know. I'm curious what everybody else thinks on that. Hit us up on the text line, Gardner or Jake. I mean, like 885 says, start Luton. Have Minshew come in if Luton sucks. Why? 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 Why?
Wait a minute.
We already know what Gardner is. It isn't good. Like, yeah, that's.
Like, we know he sucks. We know both of them aren't really, like, we know both of them aren't the answer. Like, either play him or don't. I say play Luton to make sure that the plan is executed properly.
So you say play Luton so you know they
lose.
They lose. 885 says Gardner has a win-loss record now that he holds and it isn't good. That's the entire franchise. That's everybody. Nobody has a good record here. You got to change your digits. 666 says keep Luton to maintain the tank. So he agrees with you on that. We got a lot of text line stuff that I've got to get to as well. The Lifetime Enclosures text line. 576 says Luton all day. So maybe I'm in the minority here. Maybe that is what they do. I just kind of have this feeling that tomorrow we're going to hear, hey, Gardner's good to go. He's healthy, ready to go. We're going to go. Gardner's our man. He's always been our man. That's what they're going to tell us. We're just waiting for him to get over his thumb injury. And now we're going to keep it moving. Dang, the Chiefs are so stinking good. But they ran like six different formations. Kelce took a direct. Their playbook is ridiculous.
Man, I don't care who scores as a wide receiver as long as they score. And I need Clyde Edwards-Helaire to score a few times. I'm way behind.
Maybe we go through, because I really don't know what to talk about. So maybe we go through and actually RJ asked us a good question. Maybe we do go through and find out who would you keep. Go through the roster and see.
Is it who we would keep or who do we think they will keep based upon the situations? Because that's two different questions.
Well, I feel like, A, it's a mixture of both, but two.
Because there's a bunch of guys I don't think are any good, but they can't get rid of them.
Right, but also I'm just thinking from a standpoint of, like, who's your core on this team? You know, like how NBA teams, you say, like, they have a nice core and they'll be around for the next 5 to 7 years. Do the Jaguars have a core?
Well, that's going to be like a two-minute segment. But we can do that. That's a good thought. All right. Who are the Jaguars' core? Who will be here for the next 5 to 7 years? We'll get to that coming up next.
XL. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
Coming to you from the Quick Draw Rapid Testing Studios. Maybe you don't want to go see parents or something like that with the fear that you've got the COVID for Thanksgiving. Well, go. Go get tested. Quick Draw Rapid Testing. QUIK. Lose the C. QUIK. Quick Draw Rapid Testing. Over off of St. John's Bluff. 10 minutes and $40, you'll know the answer. If you were exposed to COVID, you found out somebody you were around had it, or if you're just not feeling well, maybe you're feeling some symptoms, make sure you get to Quick Draw Rapid Testing. And you can go to quickdrawrapidtesting.com. That's Q-U-I-K, no C, quickdrawrapidtesting.com. We're getting some feedback on the text line that we'll get to in a second. The roster, the Jags roster. I mean, we're going to be hard pressed to find people that's going to be here 5 to 7 years. When I say that, like, let's take Dave Caldwell out of the equation. Let's not act like there's a chance that he could be here and screw up the 3 or 4 good players that they actually have. But let's look at, if a sane GM was here, would they be kept? Fair enough?
No, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that's completely fair. Because, well, now that you bring that up, I mean, my question would be, if you had a different GM that was much more football savvy. Now, granted, I've said I would either like Daniel Jeremiah or Lewis Riddick, but if you had one of those two guys in the front office, do you think you would be able to keep more of the talent that we may look at today and say, nah, they'll be gone in about 2 years? Like, could you potentially keep those guys if you had a different GM?
Well,
like,
yeah,
a,
I mean, if you have all turnover, then yeah. I mean, obviously, if you – I hope. I mean, everybody blamed it on Coughlin and nothing changed. What if Marone and Caldwell leave and nothing changes? And it's Shad Khan. There's nothing you can do about it. There's literally nothing you can do about that. But let's just, for the sake of this conversation, let's just assume that people may want to stay. And I'm going to go ahead, and I know he hadn't had a good year, but Josh Allen's in that for me. He's a guy you want to keep here. 23 years old, everything you want out of a pass rusher. Like, Josh Allen, to me, is a core of your team.
Definitely.
Let's see. Taven Bryan, that's a negative. A.J. Can, no. Kalyvon Chaisson, no. Like, undecided, but right now, no. DJ Chark. Now, that's an interesting one. DJ Chark, I'm going to look up his stats this year.
This year hasn't been great.
You got to start to wonder. For his career, he's got 1,716 yards.
Well, to his defense, 1 year he was a gunner.
Right. When,
like,
is this year three?
Are we
for
talking
him?
About, you said 5-7?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is year three for him.
In 2020, he's got 37 receptions for 493 yards. His average is 13.3 yards a reception. That's not bad. Four touchdowns. That's a tough one. Because, I mean, the other thing you got to factor in is how much money is he going to want. I'm going to say yes on DJ.
Would you pay him number one receiver money?
Oh, hell no.
No. No. We don't have a number one receiver.
No. What do you do with Keelan Cole?
You give him number three receiver money.
Does it
see if he takes it?
Does it in any way bother you if you're the Jags or a team that the two previous years, he had 491 yards, 361 yards, and then all of a sudden it's a contract year and he starts balling. Does that send up any red flags?
No. The reason why – well, his first year he had 1,000.
He had 700.
Or 700, yards. Okay.
Yeah.
He hasn't had consistency or stability in the quarterback position since he's been there. So even this year is going to be – now, he's not on track to get 1,000 yards, right?
No.
I mean, he's just going to probably be like that 700-yard year at best – and he's able to do something in special teams. So that's the reason why I like him.
He's an explosive guy. Yeah, I think I'll go with you on that.
That's the only reason. I mean, I think he – and then if he got hurt when – he got hurt. Was it the second year or the third year he got hurt?
I think it was the second.
Either way, I think you're only giving him – I'm only keeping him if he's taking number three receiver money.
There's a lot of guys that I'm going to skip here because – they're either obvious answers of no or like Devon Hamilton. We don't know. No idea. He's a rookie from Ohio State. No idea. Trey Herndon. No. Miles Jack. Yes. Yes. Miles Jack is absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's one of the best. He's, yeah.
Let's see. Brandon Linder.
It's easy to say pick one offensive lineman, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's a position that 90% of anybody in media or fans know absolutely anything about.
Right.
So I'm going to say Linder. I'm going to say keep him.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you because anybody you talk to says that he's actually playing really well.
Right.
So I'm going to trust people who know the position better than I do, and I'm going to go with you on that. What about, like, Norwell?
Not for the money. Right. Gotta go back down. You gotta go back down a little bit.
Right. Now Norwell is actually, well, they're almost the same age as Linder. Guys like James O'Shaughnessy, like those are role players, guys. Those are not, like, I'd absolutely keep James O'Shaughnessy. I'd probably keep Tyler Eifert if the money's right. Just because you even if you go get a tight end, you're still gonna need three or four.
Yeah, O'Shaughnessy's a good he might not be your number one guy.
Right. Good team guy. He's gonna help everybody out. He plays well, like he little injury prone right now, but yeah. Let's see. Cam Robinson. That's the question, right?
And then, like, we just – nah, I'm straight. I'd rather draft a left tackle and see what happens. But that's my take in general. Like, I know, obviously, get the quarterback, but with the second first-round pick, I want to get something for it.
Remember, you got 100 mil of cap space, too.
But there's nobody right now. There are no left tackles. Remember we went through that?
Right. Yeah, you're right.
He's actually going to get paid well. Right. Like, and I'm going to be like, God bless, man. Go find that money, man.
It's easy to say yes to James Robinson. But if you're talking 5 to 7 years, like, who knows?
I'll probably get another running back
right
at that point.
Right. What about Schobert?
Yeah, because I don't – I think – and to give – Dempsey. I was about to say – who's the – Tommy Mack credit. He talked about this. He just does what you need him to do with the middle linebacker. Like, you don't want an overly athletic middle linebacker. That's what you try to do with Miles Jack.
Mm-hmm.
You need a guy that makes Miles Jack better, which he's done, and you just need to go find that Telvin Smith character again, just minus, you know,
right,
the off-field distractions.
Right.
But you go find another linebacker, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on Schobert there. LaVisca Chenault's a yes. Got to figure out what to do with him. There's
you know
guys
what I
like,
think you should do with LaVisca Chenault?
What?
I think and this is where it's going to – well, he's going to want the wide receiver designation.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Jimmy Graham wanted to get the wide receiver designation over the tight end. You need to keep – James Robinson is your number one running back.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go find a guy, another guy. It could be whoever the guy is from Wisconsin or whatever. That's fine. But in truth, Laviska Shenault is your number two running back. He's your Reggie Bush
character. No, that's fair. Yeah.
Because he's his build
yep.
allows him to be a really, really good runner. And he's too good to, like, he's too good to only target 10 times.
I also think you saw the way Pittsburgh uses Claypool.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that should be a blueprint. They're the same size guys. That should be a blueprint to what you want to do for Chenault because I think they're both equally as explosive. Dwayne Smoot, I don't know enough about that.
I'm good with it.
What about Juwan Taylor? It depends on who you talk to on Juwan Taylor.
Man, each time I look at him, he's getting whooped. And that's the problem. Now, granted, he went up against one of the best defenders in the league in TJ Watt. Mm-hmm. But what week aren't you going to be able to have that conversation unless you're playing the Jags eventually?
I think Juwan Taylor, the jury's still out. Like, I think next year's a big
bump
year
him,
for Juwan
if,
Taylor.
If he's a tackle, I don't want him. But he's wide and big enough, I believe,
mm-hmm.
outside of what Cam Robinson is, who's a little more petite, if a lineman can be petite. Bump him inside, maybe the guard, and I think he'll be fine. But at tackle, I just don't see what he's doing. I just don't see it.
No to DJ Hayden, yes to CJ Henderson. Yeah. I think CJ Henderson is going to grow into a pretty good player.
I think CJ's AJ. Yeah. AJ Bouye.
Yeah, fair. Wow. That's about it.
I mean, here's an interesting name he hasn't gotten his shot yet, but, would you kick the tires on Shaq Quarterman at this point and see what he has?
Oh, I forgot Shaq. Has Shaq played?
Yeah, he's played a little bit.
I thought he was just supposed to be special teams, at least for the rookie year, and then they said he was going to work
his way up. We're talking about guys that are centerpieces of your team. Of course, he's on a rookie deal. There's a lot of these guys that I named that are rookie deals that you don't have to get rid of. You still got to dress out 53 or 47. Shaq Quarterman is not going anywhere. Just like, you know, there's so many names that I skipped over that are in that same exact boat. But I was trying to find the guys that 5 to 7 years from now I believe will still be here.
Right.
And I don't really, like, to be honest – Like Chris Claybrooks. Chris Claybrooks plays hard, bro. Like, he's 5'9", 179. He's a rookie. He's out there battling today, and he's showing just enough skill. Like, that's somebody that I think over the next 2 or 3 years, and he's got some special teams pedigree about him, you find out what he is. Like, you put the resources, you put the time into Chris Claybrooks, and you find out if you've got a gem. And there's a couple of guys like that that's the one thing, and I hate being this guy, but that's the one thing, James, you've got to say about a lot of these dudes. A lot of these young dudes are playing their butts off out there. Like, even with all this going on, even on being on a team that is competing for a number one overall pick, those dudes are going at it like it's the playoffs for them.
Right. I mean, they're not quitting. I mean, I just hate using that.
I hate being that guy, too.
Terminology with a passion.
But when it's true, it's true. When it's true, it's true. I mean, you've got guys lining up against veterans in the league and holding their own for a minute. Now, long term, the veteran's going to wear them out, and that's what's happening. Like the Daniel Thomas cat, number 20, had picked today. Rookie from Auburn.
Right.
Safety. He's a rookie. So who knows? What I'm saying is there's 8 guys that we look at and we go, okay, this is a core, this is a nucleus. But that number could grow to 11 or 12. And if you count some offensive linemen, maybe even more than that, over the course of the next couple of years. The biggest piece, without a shadow of a doubt, that you've got to get situated is what's going on at the top. And I'm not talking about the quarterback. I'm talking about everything else. Because I'm telling y'all, it doesn't matter who you draft at quarterback if you keep these same dudes around running this organization. You're almost guaranteed to draft a bust.
Or, because busts are about fit. You're gonna just draft guys who are good, who just come in and just get jaded.
They're gonna seem like a bust. That's what I'm saying. Like they
just don't like. It's not so much that they just don't like you, right, or playing for you. And that's what I was when people were like, James, you're caping for Jalen. I'm like, I'm not really caping for him. I'm just telling you that it can't always be everybody else. At a certain point, you got to look in the mirror. You can't just keep letting your top talent go. And that was really my point. And so, like, you can't – it doesn't matter who you draft. Like, right now, these one of guys – we're 50% on our first-round picks in how I feel. I hope it changes. Mm-hmm. But, like, right now, I just don't – I don't see it with Chase on. I can see it with CJ. But you can't – but for the other ones, he hit on – Jalen and Miles Jack.
Yep. And Ngakoue.
And Ngakoue, which, yeah, he was in that draft. And then the next year, he did hit on Leonard. It just didn't work. We shouldn't have drafted him. It's not his fault he got picked fourth. Right. He produced, he had 2 1,000-yard seasons and a 600. That's not bad. He shouldn't have been picked there. I agree with that. And then he got Cam Robinson in the second, which, I mean, it was all right. Mixed results. Mixed back. But I need somebody who's going to actually be able – was Leonard who Leonard was because he hated the culture?
Right.
That was created by that. Was
Jalen
who he was? You got to ask that
question about a lot of people now.
Yeah, it's just like the only person who, because of what we know now about him off the field, is just Telvin's just crazy.
Right. Right.
But I just think about what you said with these young guys fighting hard. And that's – I hate it. It's true. Imagine this fight, though, with Calais Campbell,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with a happy Unique, with a happy Marcel Darius. Like, you just have so many guys who were good who left or who you had leave that are what young, hungry, scrappy guys need. They need to learn. Like, this is something I remember hearing all the time as a rookie playing, and I never respected it until I got done and really start when I started covering it or hanging out with more guys and listening to some of my former teammates tell me about this. You legit have to learn how to be a pro.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that. And to have a bunch of young guys, it doesn't benefit you. College, you can get away with it for the most part because –
But you're always going to have the rotation of older guys too.
Right. But even if you're starting a bunch of young guys, if they're really, really just talented, you can get away with that. Because even the older guys you rotate, they're going to be capped off. And they're still growing too.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL, you can't get away with it. You can't outlast the grind. Somebody has to show you how to last 16 weeks, really 22 weeks when it's all said and done. Somebody's got to teach you that.
Yeah, there's an interesting point to that too because we're going to get to 8 o'clock, and my 8 o'clock actually is NFL related, so it's relevant. But there was a comment made today on the broadcast about the Jags are the youngest team, and I guess the Rams are the second youngest and the Dolphins are the third youngest. I would like to see those rosters, though, and see who their older guys are. Like, are they in leadership positions? Are they able to help the younger guys along? And is that why they're having the success? So maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. We've got a ton of texts I want to get to as well. So we'll do that right after 8 o'clock. But 8 o'clock is coming up next.
You mad, bro?
1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Join us in the sports den. Call or text 641-1010.
Open up your heart and let that hate out.
Man, my man Denny's head was steaming when he came in this thing. 8 o'clock started off early, but this is the official 8 o'clock. Got to make sure you're refreshed and hydrated after you get all that heat and hate out of your heart. The best way to do that is with AlkaVita Alkaline Water. That's AlkaVita.life is the website to go to. See the different places you can go to in Jacksonville to pick it up, or they will ship it to you anywhere in the continental United States. It is the best stuff to make sure you're rehydrated, and it helps flush your system of all the bad stuff, especially when you've been drinking a lot, smoking cigars, doing all these different things because your favorite teams suck. Or you're celebrating too much because your favorite teams are doing well. As you're looking to get geared up for the new year, you want to start off healthy. Alkaline water is some of the best water that you could drink. The best alkaline water that you can get is AlkaVita Alkaline Water. AlkaVita.life. That's the website to go to. AlkaVita Alkaline Water brings you 8 o'clock.
My 8 o'clock is the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, dear. What'd they do to you?
They didn't do anything to me. I hate how they handled the situation today. They end up losing 20-13.
Yes.
That's good.
My man, I'm just tired of the Tua train.
Well, they benched Tua. So Tua started the game out 11 for 20 for 83 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, but he took 6 sacks.
Ooh.
And so they benched Tua, brought in Fitz, and Fitz played okay. He went 12 for 18. They only scored 3 points with Fitz, but he drove him up down the field. He threw an interception at the end in the end zone, 3 for 117 yards, but he didn't take any sacks. So the reason they benched Tua was obviously because of the sacks. And I think the coach even said so after the game. What I'm hating on about this is when you made that decision, and I understand you're in playoff contention. I get all that, so don't hit me on the – I think he was coming off a 2 or 3-game win streak, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
And go with Tua. What you decided was that you felt like Tua gave you the best chance to win now, and in addition to that you were going to buy into Tua. And part of buying in to a young quarterback is him getting through the rough days. And as a father figure, which the head coach, this is his family, he's the father over, essentially what you did today to Tua is you said, okay, Tua, you're having a rough day. It's okay. Go sit over there. You don't need to work your way through it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I just, like, if you would have come back and won, maybe I wouldn't have hate on it because I really don't care about the Dolphins either way. But that was a perfect learning opportunity for Tua. Is why am I getting sacked? Like, why am I getting the crap knocked out of me? You know, the best way to learn is to getting the crap knocked out of you, right, James?
Yeah.
Like,
you got to get yourself, you got to, like, there's, it's not going to always be ups and shiny days or sunny days. You got to go through that rain. You got to grind. Like, he's got to learn. Yeah, you kind of just, like you said, you bailed him out.
Yeah, and so now what's the plan? What do you tell Tua now? I mean, for the year.
Bigger than that, it is what you tell Tua. What do you tell Tua? What do you tell Fitz, and what are you telling your team?
Your team, yep. Yep.
Like, all right, we're going to bring the young guy in great situation. Like, because everybody else didn't get bailed out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're creating you're creating the animosity. People already get aggravated with quarterbacks because quarterbacks get away with a lot more than everybody else gets away with.
Yep.
Nine times, mainly because you can only play one at a time. And typically the drop-off from your number one quarterback to your number two is significant. So you really give them as many chances. But when you're doing this and they know they're going to get back in, like, that's just not fair. I don't know if they're fair, but that's not an equitable situation.
And if you're a coach and you've got two out there struggling and he's your future, then that's also a learning opportunity for you as a coach. Why is Tua getting sacked isn't just Tua. Like, okay, what is it that Tua is struggling with? You've got these, like, Microsoft surfaces now. You can see everything mm-hmm. right there on the sideline. What exactly is he struggling with, and how do we work around our franchise quarterback? Now, he's played pretty well. Like, the thing that he's done really well is he hadn't turned the ball over. I mean, he had 93 yards his first start, 248 his second start, which was far and away his best game, 169, and then he had 83 today. So it's not like he's ripping it up, but he has 6 touchdowns and no interceptions. He, in the 4 games he started, has taken 10 sacks. So I understand what they're going to say. They're going to say, well, we want to protect him. He's still learning, all that kind of stuff. But I am a firm believer in everything you just said. As a team, if this is your franchise quarterback, you win and you lose by your franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Your franchise quarterback will not become your franchise quarterback. Your franchise quarterback will not get over his weaknesses from watching it on the bench. That if it was Jake Luton and Gardner Minshew, fine.
Fair.
Flip them in and out as much as you want to. But when it's your first round future pick with Tua that you benched a guy that was playing pretty well to play, you're not helping anybody by doing this. And you didn't win the game. If you'd have won the game, maybe so, but you didn't win the game. So that's my 8 o'clock. Y'all have one?
My 8 o'clock isn't really a 8 o'clock. I think I'm going to save the one that I'm really mad about unless something comes up to tomorrow, because there's only one person in this world who can understand my hatred for this.
Okay.
And that would be a one JJ.
Okay.
So, but I'm going to spend this 8 o'clock by somebody, people superseding and stepping in from people being my 8 o'clock, and I'm going to shout out somebody.
Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. I love that.
We call it World of Nations Publix, the one that we typically don't
right.
go to.
Yes.
But shout out to World of Nations Publix. That's the Publix on South Side of Bay Meadows. We call it World of Nations because that's where everybody, the Indians, Chinese, black, white, whatever you want.
8 different languages.
Yeah, you gotta have a Rosetta Stone to go in there. The other one is just typical, regular Publix, but both are Publix nonetheless. And they're not paying me, but this is something they did. So we have if you don't know, and if anybody knows anybody, please share this. 9 a.m. Woodstock Park. Tomorrow we're feeding about 101 to 100, over 100 families. They're going to get a full Thanksgiving meal. That's turkey, awesome. Rices, all kinds of stuff.
Rices.
I just like saying it. It's not right, man.
Over 100.
Over 100, yeah. So yams, a whole bunch of stuff. It's a box full of stuff. If you ain't seen what I've been doing all week, mm-hmm. I've been toting crap all week and been feeding people. I'm tired of it. After tomorrow, don't ask me for no damn food until maybe the end of December. And then after that, it's on somebody else. But I found a great deal at the base. We bought birds 39 cents a pound. So I thought I was going to be able to go out there. They were sold out, whatever. It was a dollar a pound after that. I wouldn't buy nothing for a dollar a pound. I don't like anybody that much.
I don't even know what a normal
put it like this. It goes from about $10 to $12 okay. to like $40
per.
And wow. when you're buying these in mass,
right?
That number, it was like it could have been like $650 to $700 mm-hmm. or $1,700.
Right.
I wasn't spending $1,700 on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm done. I'm tired of spending money. But anyway, so we got to that. Found them. I found some at Target the night before. Target let me get some stuff. I cleaned them out, but they didn't have enough. So my man Dennis Chan at Blue Bamboo told me, hey, hit up Winn-Dixie. I go to Winn-Dixie. They got 49 cents a pound. The nice one. I'm like, woo, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk in here, and I'm going to get some. There's no sign. I'm like, hey, all right, just in case, because I don't want to get, is there a limit on the birds? Like, yes, one per person. It's like, all right, cool, not a problem. Is there anybody that I could talk to that I could tell them what I'm trying to do, and, like, they'll do it? No. We only give it one per person. All right, whatever. I call, try to go over the head, won't let me go over the head, blah, blah, blah. I call Publix, but my mom tells me Publix has them same price, but Publix lets you get two per person. So I call Publix, our Publix. I'm like, hey, my man, the Reedy Branch Publix. So if you want to roll in there, talk to the meat man, tell him I put him on blast, or whoever, the manager. I talk to him and say, hey, man, this is what I'm doing. Can I just get all the birds from you, man? I just really want to make one stop. I don't feel like, he's like, nah, it's only two. You know, it's the rules are the rules. I was like, so you mean to tell me this? If I get 13 people and we all get two birds, mm-hmm. and I line them up and I swipe my credit card 13 times, you're going to let me walk out of there with 36 birds or with something, 26, whatever the number, yes. 18 people, excuse okay. me. You're going to let me walk out of here with that. Mm-hmm. But if I come in here and try to get them by myself, that's a problem. Yep. I said, are you sure? Yep. I said, all right. So that's when I went on Facebook Live. I said, bump it. If I'm tired, I'm already, I didn't go to, so I didn't ask all these people, if y'all want me to be ignorant and do this live, I will sit out here, I will go to the bank, I will pull out cash, and I will sit here on my bed of my truck, and I will pay people like I'm doing a drug transaction with birds. And I said, we're going to call it birds, which people know that bird, if you don't know what a bird is, it's also slang for a brick of cocaine. So I'm like, I'm going to get these birds.
Also turkeys.
But I was talking about turkeys, though. I wasn't talking. Don't show up to Woodstock Park thinking you're getting a kilo. You're getting a turkey and some food. So Jason Rue, one of my friends, makes a couple of calls. Somebody goes to church with him or whatever. They call World and Nations Publix, Publix on the south side of Bay Meadows. He says, cool. He's like, "That's what? How many you need?" So, well, I said, at that point, I needed 30. Chris Courtney came in. He bought six because we were going to go. A couple people were like, hey. He said, I can't make it to you at six, but I can come right now. Mm-hmm. I said, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. Angie told me, she's like, I got to leave at 5:45. She was like dialed in.
I had about 25 people ready to go. So like it was about to go down.
You kind of wish it would have happened.
I kind of wish. I was just like, so my boy AC called me and said, hey, man. I said, so you just refuse to let me be ignorant. And then Rue called me and I was, because I was already there. Because me and Chris Courtney we were about to leave. I had went to go get my coffee. And I was like, because I'm tired. I had just gave away all. That's really what it was. I was being kind of lazy. But I had been up since 7 o'clock. You know, we had 308 cars
That's
come
crazy.
Through Normandy.
That's
like,
crazy.
So I'm tired. I'm like, I'm ready to go. I just want to buy these things and get this over with so I can worry about Monday. So the guy's like, that's what you need? It's cool. He took me to the back. I forget his name, but big old tall black dude. I was like, hey, man, can you kick slide? Because the Jags are struggling right now. Because, like, if we can work with you, you know, I know you're strong because you're throwing around all this meat. So, but he's like, nah, I'm cool. What do you do with Publix? I'm like, great. They bagged it up, and I'm coming out with carts. Like they had it stacked up, like official.
Yeah.
Put it in boxes in. So I really want to thank, like it's not really, Southside and Bay Meadows Publix for allowing us to get it. But I also want to thank everybody on social media for coming through at the end. It would have been funny. It would have been great probably for the sports then had we been able to do it that way, the other way. But this is probably the better way to have it done. And I thank everybody who's contributed throughout this part of the year for a lot of the events that we've been trying to do. So if you know anybody or if you're a family in need, 9 a.m. is when we're doing it. Woodstock Park, I think it's off of Beaver Street. We got 100. If I can have 100 cars there waiting, I'm sure police are going to be mad at that. But I don't want to be out there all day. So, like, we're going to probably be there 9 to 11 at max. But if you know somebody or if you know somebody who really could use it but can't make that, hit us up on social media. I'll try to see what we can do about putting a box to the side for some people and meet somebody. So
that's good stuff. That's awesome stuff. You got like Angie like chomping She's like, I want to hop in with you on this. I'm like, well, then call him. Like, text him. Go.
Yeah, she hit me up because people was confused. They was like, James, you need me to buy? I said, if you want to buy, great. I don't need you to buy. We already had the money set aside. I just didn't want to pay $1,600.
No, like, you've inspired her.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying.
So,
like
we got some other
cool stuff.
So,
man.
Like, this kids that, so if you do want to know some, just check out @mentorsftk on Instagram. So the MFTK thing is gone. A little slight twist, but we're also rewarding some of the kids from the book bag giveaway who got good grades, too. So there's a lot of things we're going to be doing in you know, the radio station, the show is going to help as well, but we're going to do some – I'm tired of people complaining and talking about how bad stuff is when it's really simple fixes that we can all do to make the world better. I'm still going to hate and have hatred and still talk my trash, but like my grandmama, I'm going to talk trash, but I'm going to do it for you. Mm. Like, you're going to hear my mouth, mm-hmm. but I'm going to do it more than likely.
That's good stuff. It's really good stuff. Let's take a break. I'm going to come back. We've got so much on the text line I want to get through. And there was something else that we said. I'll think of it when we come back. But we'll get to the text line coming up next.
XL. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
So Sports Den brought to you by TheHumidor.com. Make sure you get to TheHumidor.com for all your cigar needs, especially this holiday season. You can be sitting in line waiting to get your turkey.
Yeah.
Smoking a cigar from TheHumidor.com. Get to TheHumidor.com. Huge selection of cigars, already low prices. If you type in Sports Den, all lowercase, all one word, you'll get 20% off their already low prices. That's TheHumidor.com. Got a couple people asking, giving you like a ton of props, which they should. One wants to know, where the heck are you storing all these turkeys?
Again, if you could do me a favor and support this man's restaurant, it's delicious, one. I'm not going to tell you. He wouldn't be my friend if it wasn't any good. Mm-hmm. But it's Blue Bamboo. Right now, it's still here around the corner from the station on Southside. They're moving to San Jose, but he's got about 40 of my turkeys in his deep freezer that I got to get up first thing in the morning to get out. And then the rest of them is at the crib.
Really?
We bought a new deep freezer.
Okay.
I mean, a stand-up freezer that looks kind of cleaner, like the shelf one. Mm-hmm. And then it emptied out our two deep freezers, which all the other turkeys essentially fit in there. So, the way I talked about it sounded really bad, but it's another storehouse on the north side that has about 46 turkeys, if I remember correctly. So we got, all in all, it's about 108 turkeys.
718 wants to know, he says, can you guys mention again where it is I can go on the internet to look how to contribute and help the cause?
The easiest thing I can tell you right now, JamesColemanGivesBack.com is the website for most of the stuff. But if you follow me @BigGameJames_36 on Twitter, that's probably the easiest way to go and get that without me having to give out all my like the Cash App, PayPal, and stuff like that. But I'll message you how to do that here through the text line. But that's basically it. And Dom, that's not, it means what it means.
MFTK.
MFTK means what it means. It does mean that, but.
He's suggesting it means, man, feed these kids.
Yeah. Well, that can be.
It's got multiple meanings.
MFTK means what it means on your heart at the time. Hmm. There's times when it's, man, feed these kids. There's times when it's mentors for the kids. And it's also, man, bump them kids. So it's it just all depends. But yeah, but anyways, Blue Bamboo, if you could just go support them, tell them you heard them doing some great stuff in the community, helping me out. Dennis is an amazing chef. If you want to go on a date and you want to look like you're a man, say, hey, go one, it's good ambiance, but also go in there and say, hey, make me something special. Mm. And I promise you, whatever he
Ask
makes.
Ask nicely. Don't go in there.
Well, yeah. Don't go in there.
Yo, hey, make me something special.
Hey, Big Game said, make me something. No, just go in there and say, hey, man, could you please just whatever. Because I go in there and I say, hey, Dennis, you know, I want soup. One time I went and I said, I want some soup, man. Make me just, whatever soup you got, whatever you got. It was amazing. He's like, I tell him what I can't eat, and then he does whatever from there. So, but yeah, that's enough of that.
9-8-2, Miles Jack can be the next Derrick Brooks with the right DC. Like that. 5-7-6, should the Jags trade for Carson Wentz? Heck no.
Carson, is there more than one Carson Wentz?
Ooh, yeah, that's going to be a hard pass on that one. Reading through, a bunch of people commented on my rant earlier.
Yeah, it was getting some love on social media.
5-5-3, the core changes every year. Last year, Miles wouldn't have been in that core, but this year he is.
I would have. Just because he stunk at Mike linebacker, that wasn't his fault.
He says, players progress and regress every year. Stats are a tough way to measure whether someone should be in the core or not. That's why we said Josh Allen should be in, because his stats are terrible. Awful. 666, bro, what happened to Avery Jones?
Avery's like Avery, right?
445, talking about quick draw rapid testing. Yep, make sure you get there. Also says, yes, if we had a different GM, we'd be better by now and have kept more talent. Tom was some of it, but not all of it. I just want to know exactly, like, I want a PowerPoint of, you know what, here's what I want, Shad. At the next State of the Jags, I want a PowerPoint that shows us what percentage of the blame goes around here. Like, show me the piece of the pie that Tom was, because y'all sure as hell made us believe like it was 99.9 last year. I mean, am I wrong on that? Like, it's like Tom left and they were almost like, okay, all right, we're good now. So I want a PowerPoint slide that says, what percentage was Tom? What percentage is Dave? Percentages, like as you see it, Shad, you're the owner. Tell us. Spell it out for us. 525 says he would pick Luton over Gardner because he has developmental talent. Gardner is and always will be 6 foot with a noodle for an arm. Keeping Gardner means, to an extent, you're operating under the assumption he might need to play again. A lot of dudes out there that are big with a huge arm that didn't make it in the NFL. A lot of them. 651 at 6'6", he has more tip passes than Bortles. Are both Luton and Jags offensive coaches unfamiliar with the pump fake? Pump fake. What am I missing?
I think he's trying to say, like, if you pump fake, you know, like, but pump fake implies that you have time.
Right,
and it's or that you want to take or longer route, because like if it's quick game and you pump fake, then you basically just you became an extra defender unless your guys all know how to like break off their routes. Then after that, like when you think about what Big Ben did that like 3 times, and each time he got lit up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he's really ready for that kind of banging.
I like this text, 281. I like to hear from people like this. It says, I'm one of the few which have been a season ticket holder since day one except this year due to COVID. But now it's total apathy. The organization does not respect the fans. Each year we are preached to about the all-important local revenue but never about the actual product. I have one question. What's the difference in operating income of the team from 17 and all the other seasons? Answer that question. You'll see there is not a real incentive from ownership to make winning a priority. The owner trashes our city each chance he gets until he wants a partnership on a project. Here is a simple suggestion. Build something special on a small lot first, 100 yards long by 53 yards wide. I like it. Actually, you know what, though? I do remember seeing – you remember seeing the how much the local revenue did go up in 17? Like, it still didn't put them in the upper, you know, third of the league. But I want to say, if I remember right, in 17, the local revenue took them from like 28th, 27th, something like that, to like 16th. I'm going straight off the top of my head, but for some reason, winning does make a big difference.
It was one of the few things that they didn't yell at us about and tell us that we stunk.
Right.
Like, I mean, there was they're like, you're better, but you're still one of the worst in the league.
Right.
But you're not the worst anymore.
But I remember it was enough of a bump to where I walked out going, well, wait, this seems all very simple to me.
Win
and Lot J and all that comes after you win. Like, you're talking about the tax base, the revenue, all that kind of stuff, when you had a bump when you won. Like, I'm not Shad Khan. I don't have billions, but it seems like there's a correlation between winning and revenue going up. 955. Y'all acting like Jazz getting a new coach. Not happening. Marone and Caldwell, 2021. Jags win 4 games next year. One of them's got to go. Got to go.
Do we get more picks? Do we have, like, in the 2022 season?
I don't know.
Or we're done with first-round picks?
Done. We're done. Hey, crap. Is this true? Did y'all hear this? If Yannick Ngakoue makes the Pro Bowl, the Jags get a fourth-rounder in the trade. If he doesn't, they get a fifth-rounder?
It bumps up. It's incentive. But, I guess it transfers if he goes to the Ravens.
How much of the fan vote is it? I mean, do we need to send Yannick?
We should definitely do our part. No matter what.
955 also says, I bet James Robinson would also excel in the screen game, but we don't have one.
Yeah. I think the screen game, what people don't understand about that is you do want to invite the defenders upfield, but they're supposed to at least halfway respect your pass rush to where they got to do a move or something.
Right.
When they could just come upfield, like, it's terrifying. Like, the concept of a screen is your quarterback who's been getting battered all game has to catch the ball and sell the pass where there's 4 to 5 guys coming at him full speed. They're not small individuals. They're tall. He's got to know where they're at, and then he's got to toss a ball to somebody
who's like 5'7".
So he can't throw it. He can't throw it their height because they'll bat it down, which he already, for whatever reason, he gets his passes batted down a lot. He can't throw it too high because, oh, yeah, there are linebackers out there that your offensive line probably can't block anyway that are scraping. Mm-hmm. Or they'll get an interception. So it's just – it's a lot of things that go into that because you know you're probably going to get hit.
Dom says that wasn't just winning the revenue thing, but it was also part of the London deal. No, it was like the London deal happened before that. Dom, you may be right. Like, I know the London deal added revenue, but it was a specific thing to the
– like they, you know, do.
I'm not even going to get
– like they were the doing – like they had like a – it was one of the slots.
Right.
Like, local revenue did this. Businesses here in Jacksonville saw an increase of blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
We picked that up in between getting yelled at by Tom Coughlin the whole time. It was about all we picked up out of it. So the one thing that COVID took from us that I didn't really miss was the state of the Jags.
Yeah.
But, by the way, speaking of screens, then we got to take a break. I mean, different players, all that kind of stuff. We still can't stop a screen, though. Mm-mm. Is Todd Wash aware
that screens are part of the game?
Is he aware that we struggle with them?
Huh?
I mean, I know FSU fans are getting on a letter-writing campaign that we'll get to tomorrow to Dabo. Should we get in a letter-writing campaign to Todd Wash about the screen game?
Hey, this happens.
Maybe some cut-ups? Of
break it down for him.
All the different screens. It's like the Jags are the one team you can bust out a screen anytime you want, and it's good for a solid 8 or 9.
And the funny thing is, it's not like really exotic screens.
No.
It's like the basic ones that.
What in the world? 476. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, it's business. I love our owner, and Tony is being a very smart guy. Get a franchise quarterback, which we never had, and in the process found ways to create more revenue to make people want to come to Jacksonville and to keep our team here. Tony, stop texting us.
You know, you want to help people not come to Jacksonville? Don't have 6 shootings in a night. that's one way that would do it.
I mean,
like, create more opportunities downtown, like build more business, like have a winning product on the NFL. Nobody's suggesting that the NFL team is it, like, nobody wants it. They're suggesting that we want a winner. And, like, it's not about if I have a shirt on right now that you people can't see. I'll show it on Facebook Live and on Periscope in a minute. It says, congratulations to 100 wins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, excuse me, 100 losses.
Yes.
On the back of it, it has the year,
mm-hmm.
and it has the number of L's, that attribute to the losses that we had in that year. So I think it goes back to 2012. That's when he bought it, right?
Mm.
So what in 8 years?
It was earlier.
But what during this time have you seen that makes you have faith that something will change? See, the thing is you guys – see, a lot of people – like, and I'm not getting into the Christian thing, but it's Sunday. You got to have faith like to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Adrian Crawford was a pastor, says it takes an idiot to have faith. You got to have that. You got to have a little bit of that in you. But it takes a special type of idiot to have idiot faith. Mm-hmm. Like, if somebody shows you something consistently, you got to expect that. But I'm a James guy, Book of James guy.
Mm-hmm.
Faith without works mm-hmm. is dead.
It's dead. Yep.
And you can have it. I just see what the work is. I don't go to a mango tree expecting avocados. This is a loser tree. So I'm sorry if I expected to have loser fruit. That's just me. I mean, you go there looking for strawberries. I go there looking for L's.
Mm. We've got to take our last break. We're a little bit behind, way behind. We'll take our last break. We'll come back, and we will wrap up the Sunday edition of the Sports Den.
I tell you the difference between me and them. They're trying to get the ones and trying to get the men.
1010XL. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
I think Dom's been at ABC today.
Good.
The text line. it's funny. Hey, wrapping up this show, one more time, James, tell people if they know someone who needs some help with Thanksgiving meal, what do they do tomorrow?
What do they need to do? They need to go to Woodstock Park. It's off of Beaver Street. And we start at 9 a.m., so I mean, you might want to get there a little earlier. Don't get too early because you'll block us. We should be arriving there by 8 o'clock to set up. And basically, we're going to roll open the U-Haul truck door, and we're going to start handing them off. You just pop your trunk. We'll drop it. We'll put it in your trunk or your car, and you keep on moving. We'll be there until we run out. And that's it. So it's Woodstock Park off of Beaver Street, 9 a.m.
There you go. Make sure you get out there if you need some help this Thanksgiving with the meal, or you know someone who does. Basically, the first 100 get it, right?
Yep.
It's essentially what it is. Tomorrow night, we will get into everything college football. Man, there's a lot to get into. A whole lot to get into tomorrow night, and we'll make sure that we do that. Jack fans, I'm sorry. Don't know what else to say, man. Guess how many more weeks? 6 more weeks? Something like that. 6 more weeks.
Christmas is coming soon.
Yep. Enjoy the season. There you go. Enjoy not the football season, the holiday season. Enjoy that. Find joy there.
Hey, Klaus, if you need to get in the mood, KLAUS is a great cartoon Christmas movie for the whole family.
There
it's
you
awesome.
Go. There you go. RJ, good job. Good work tonight.
That doesn't sound like, is that game?
It's not
game, man.
That's why I say, I'm in a forgiving mood. So good work tonight, RJ. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow night. It is the Sports Den brought to you by ABC, File Money Spirit. Y'all have a good evening.